It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Deucemo, 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 the podcast that you know. Welcome in, everybody. Deuce Mason, Morgan Reagan.
Are you making fun of me?
Well, it's you do it, and I like it though.
I wasn't gonna do it like that today.
Okay, let me just do the last part. Deucemo, they tell you what you know.
Welcome into the Juice and Mo podcast. Got her. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. I don't like the start to this.
Okay. Want me to do it again?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Let's just be real.
Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know.
Sacramento Kings. We're coming off their most important and impressive win of the season in Minnesota. They are up a dozen, down a dozen, and come firing back in the fourth quarter and look like they might have sucked the life out of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And maybe, just maybe, a turning point in their season. The day after Thanksgiving, a trip to Portland in store. Portland banged up, no Jeremy Grant, pretty good player. No Scoot Henderson, Donovan Klingon, the rookie who's blocking everything, out. Rob Williams, who just made his return, out. Matisse Thybulle, out. Yeah, the Kings without DeRozan and Trey Lyles, but they just played pretty well and came back against Minnesota. So what's in store for tonight? Kings got off to a good offensive start because they were knocked down 5 of 11 from 3 in the first quarter. But there is something in the back of our heads as we watch this one. Turnovers and offensive rebounds, and that ended up dooming the Sacramento Kings. For the second consecutive year, the Kings go to Portland, lose to a shorthanded Portland team, this time 115-106. They're now 9-11 on the season. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. Momo, what do we do? What do we do? And where do you want to start?
I think we start with the turnovers, because that feels like a theme that, it happens a lot in these losses,
yep,
specifically. And I mentioned at the half, I was like, you know, some feel really self-inflicted. And we can give love to Portland, their effort on the offensive boards, their effort with their long arms and just like being scrappy. I don't give a shit. Take care of the basketball. Like, lock in. Figure it out. When you have a couple, take a breath. Figure it out. Make a doctor's appointment. I don't know. Figure it out. And that's where I'm getting frustrated, because it just feels like these players that are the individuals that are making a lot of these turnovers are better than this.
Yeah, and the ones today were beyond frustrating, mm-hmm, because you're right. It was just not being locked in. And I felt like that was like a lot of the case with some of these 50-50 balls. Like, how many times, like, hey, the Kings got to stop. The ball, like, bounces to Sacramento. They block a shot. oh, it should be King's ball, and it somehow ends up in the Blazers' hands, and they score. And yeah, some of the turnovers were just like, what are you doing?
On
like,
outlets.
Isaac Jones on an outlet after a rebound off Keon Ellis' fingertips. You know,
two-man game trying to force shit in the middle of the paint when there's like seven bodies. Yeah, seven bodies there.
You know, just like undisciplined. You know, Keon Ellis getting pressured, and he just tries to throw it through a Blazer defender. And it's like, no, like, guys, we got to talk. We got to communicate. If there's pressure, someone's got to go help. You know, it was just one of those infuriating games. I said it on postgame. We're doing this show from San Francisco tonight, NBC Studios. Man, they're just not a good team, you know? And we're 20 games in now. Like, this is not like 5 games in. We're 20 games in, and some of the same things we've been talking about during losses are, it's the same, right? Like, they don't shoot it well from three. They end up on the night getting the 35%. They hit some ones late. Shout out Malik Monk for knocking down 8 of 15. Yeah. But, like, in general, this team is like, I said this a couple, like last week when DeRozan was still around and Monk was out. I said, okay, you pretty much need those three guys, DeMar, Fox, and Sabonis, to be great. And then you need another guy to be good. And the Kings can't even get another guy to be good.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Yeah, I mean, they've got three guys who average 20 or more. And then DeRozan's out, and like Monk's kind of replaced that production.
Mm-hmm.
Yet no one else is stepping up. And so much is falling on these guys to, hey, you got to try to carry us. It's not enough. And more specifically about tonight, you're right. The turnovers were atrocious. They had 20 turnovers in this game, turned into 24 points for the Blazers.
Yeah. When we did the postgame show, like, I thought about the turnovers, and I was like, God, those sucked. You know, I thought about Domas, De'Aaron, and Monk turning the ball over. And when I think about some of their turnovers too, I go, they are doing a lot with the basketball. Yeah. When Monk makes a mistake with trying to force a pass in the paint in the two-man game, you know, there's times where I'm like, okay, I'll let that go. Like, you figure it out after that one mistake, right? But then there were some weird ones too where, like, Sabonis was out along the perimeter, and, like, I forget what Blazers player it was, but he faked it for a second. They moved, but then they stayed in the passing lane, so it couldn't get over, and he still just passed it into their arms. And it was just confusing because I'm like, You're smarter in that. Another triple-double for him, by the way. But, like, those mistakes when your best players are also making those type of turnovers, it's contagious. It bleeds into everybody, and you really felt that tonight with everybody. And, Deuce, just going back really quick to your point about, like, nobody else being a good player when it's, like, those three or whoever else, it's not – they're not only not being good, they're being bad for the most part. You know, like, we've seen it with Kevin Huerter. Poor guy is out now. Like, he had to leave the game early.
With an ankle injury.
But, like, they're not even, it's not even like, oh, they're good, but it's not good enough. It's like, no, they're bad. They're
Yeah, like, the shooting from others has been atrocious.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and Kevin, like, has not shot the ball well at all. He goes to the bench. Today he leaves, like, early in the second quarter after hurting his ankle. And, like, even if he's struggling, you still need a guy like that out there, right? You need to try to get him going. He's on the team right now. He can't make anything. And then Keegan Murray, it's a concern, dude. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, we have been huge advocates for Keegan Murray, and he has improved so much defensively. We've talked about the minutes. We talked about this. But I'm sorry. I'm seeing a player get wide open looks and miss them. He is shooting under 28% from three this year. Tonight, he hit one with a minute 30 to go, ends up with 3 points in this game. He played under 30 minutes tonight. And so I don't know what it is. I don't know how a guy who shot 40% his rookie year, made over 203 as a rookie record. Last year, it dipped to 36%, but still a threat, is off to this slow of a start. And they got to figure it out. He's getting good looks. Is he banged up? Is he playing too many minutes? Does Monty need more wing help so there's not as much pressure on him? But at this point, for me, with some of the shots he's missing, it feels like he's in his own head. And the concern I had today, we watched the last two games, we were like, oh, we're getting aggressive Keegan again. Even if he's not scoring 15, 16, aggressive, attacking the basket. Yep. Tonight, I saw the guy that creeps up, which is, I'm feeling it a little bit. I'm missing shots. Some of my shoulders, like, not being a threat with the ball. If you have to be a threat with the basketball.
Yep.
And when I say that, That means when you get the ball, don't be looking the pass. There are times it's like he doesn't even want to dribble. He's instantly getting the ball, and it's hot potato trying to find the next person.
Side to side.
He had won the Sabonis. That was a turnover. Yep. And it's like, you are better than this.
Yep.
And you have to. So whatever is going on, they got to figure out a way to help him out and get him over this because they need him.
Where is that killer instinct? Where is that aggressive?
I see it sometimes.
That we see? Yeah. I know, but that's, I don't get how it's that inconsistent.
Yeah.
You know, like what is going on that he feels that way or that killer instinct leaves him, the aggressive Keegan leaves him? Because you're exactly right. I mean, the play specifically, I remember seeing that we both looked at each other after and we're like, what the hell? He was in the paint and not once, let's say the basket's right there, he just kept going this way, side to side. Yeah. Never even looked at the basket. And where I'm like, you could elevate over whoever the shit's in front of you.
Make them react to you, right?
Yeah. Like
you have the ball. You are the person that can be the threat,
this.
Right?
Yes.
To get them to react.
Yes.
And we've seen the good. In like the last couple of games, how excited I've gotten watching him before tonight where I'm like, oh, he's attacking. He had that big dunk against Minnesota, you know.
By the way, there's no DeMar in this game, too. You know how many people
want to... No Kevin either.
And how many people were like, oh, you know, the touches are down for Sabonis, for everyone, all these people. And I remember people putting that out there, but I also thought it was important that the ball was touching the hands of multiple players, everyone getting theirs at different times, whatever it need be. And I feel like he's not capitalizing on these times. Yeah. We've had this conversation before this season of him being that next guy, next man up mentality. How about just be a killer? Like, you know, you are deep down.
We see it. You see the flashes of it. And I think that's where it's tough because when you see those flashes of brilliance and you see it's like, okay, I can live with him. To a certain extent, I can live with him missing some shots if the aggressiveness is there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like it was there tonight. And they just need him to start knocking down shots. And that's the other thing. It's like, man, like if putting him on the point, be the point of attack defender, like he's a guy defending, like, you know, at times Simons tonight. Like, that's a tough matchup. If that's taking too much out of him, like, the coaching staff needs to find other ways to alleviate that. Like, okay, maybe we have to pick our spots better because we need his late. If that's, I'm here searching.
Like searching.
If that's why some of these shots are short, because I'm seeing open looks for him. I'm seeing open looks for the Kings shooters. They're not knocking them down. And now teams, you're seeing them pack the paint against Sacramento. Why? It's been 20 games. They go, this team's shooting 30%. They're not confident in shooting the ball, and they know how the Kings can kill them, and that is in the paint.
Mm.
Now, what happened in Minnesota the other night?
What happened?
When they were down 12 in the fourth quarter, they had made 6 threes. They're like 6 for 20-something.
Okay.
Awful, okay? What happened down the stretch? They made shots. They made 6 of 8. And they won the game. You got to make threes. So, like, yeah, they had 64 points in the paint. De'Aaron was relentless. And, like, he and Monk helped win them the game. It's a bonus, right? But they had other guys. And now, tonight, it wasn't a lot from anybody else. And it's tough right now. I'm trying to figure out what the pathway is for them to turn it around. If this was 10 games in and they were shooting poorly, I'd be like, hey, you know what? Keep going. But I'm like,
yeah,
dude, this
is
20 games in. Like, is this team all of a sudden going to wake up in December and start knocking down shots? I hope so. I have trouble going. Keegan Murray's a 27% three-point shooter. It's hard for me to believe that.
I think like just even something as simple as this. Someone that was brought in to knock down all these shots, you know, and again, the minutes have been weird, whatever, for good reason, but I just say this as a thing. Like Doug McDermott, you know, in his 7 minutes and 46 seconds, he was 1 of 2 from beyond the three and 1 of 3. So just 1 of 3 from the field. But I say this because I remember when he took the jumper, it was just a mid-range shot.
Yeah, no, he didn't take a three in this one.
Yeah, he did. He made. Huh? He made.
Oh my God, you're right. It was late in the fourth. It was late in the game. Bad. It was you're late. Right. I remember it now. Yep. I think I went like this. Yep. Because I'm just like,
because he missed the three and he missed a mid-range shot. Yep. And but even when he missed the three, I was just like, okay, whatever. This is what we've seen. I'm like, this is your job is to make a three and you just can't. And then I was like, oh, he brought it in and made and like took a mid-range shot and he missed it. And then I took a step back and I was like, okay. This is what the Kings are. They brought in a shooter where his one role was to shoot the ball and to make a basket.
I'm glad you brought this up. I'll never forget when they signed him, we did a reaction video. And the thing I joked about at the end is like,
Ginobili. Or not Ginobili. I'm sorry, Manu Ginobili. It was Marco Bellinelli.
Yes. different Spur. I did a reaction video and I made a joke. I'm like, look, the guy's a career 41% three-point shooter. You just hope that he doesn't come in here and turn into Marco Bellinelli. And look, Doug's also not getting a lot of time and all that. But yeah, it's just like no one's shooting it. I mean, the guys who are shooting it well from three really this year, Monk's starting to get turned on the last couple of games, which is a great sign.
Great sign.
Fox has been pretty solid until tonight. He's been like at the 35-36 range for him. Yep. I think that's solid. Domas, who like is confidently taking, he's 2 of 3 tonight, which is great. And Keon. So like it's like Keon and Domas are like the best three-point shooters on the team. And you know, I would take that if they were shooting, you know, 47% and like, oh, and Keegan's at 37 and Herter's at 36, whatever. But like those guys aren't even there. And so it's really hurting the Kings in a major way. And then more specifically about tonight's game, you know, the turnovers, you give this Blazers team. And I don't like shitting on it because they're not that – they're 8-12. They're right behind Sacramento. So yeah. I'm not acting like, oh, the Kings are so superior. But, like, they've got short – they're shorthanded, right? And they come into this game last in offensive rating.
Yeah.
They come into this game near the bottom in three-point shooting. They come into this game, like, 28th in points per game. And the Kings gave them confidence tonight by giving them – the gift wrapped the basketball, said, here, take it. And the Blazers, to their credit on the season, have been a good team with steals and turning teams over. But tonight, it didn't feel like that was necessarily the case, at least early on. And I thought then the Kings started forcing things. And, you know, when the Blazers are packing the paint, the Kings aren't getting off the ball quick enough when that double comes and they're forcing tough looks or tough passes. And even if the Blazers don't score off the turnovers as much as they probably should have, it doesn't matter because that means it's a shot that you did not get. And when you look at tonight, Sacramento takes 78 shots, Blazers take 90. You want to take more shots than your opponent, you're going to feel good about your opportunities. That's not all.
Are you going to the 50-50 ball?
The 50-50 ball is for sure, but like, yeah, and second chance points,
that's
right?
That's what I was...
Portland tonight, as I just popped into the mic, my bad. Portland... second chance points, 19 to Sacramento's 12. What's crazy is the Blazers were 8 of 9 on second chance opportunities. Sacramento, 4 of 9.
All those little things make a big difference in a game like this.
It was just, I think I even wrote down a couple of the plays because Morgan, you're right. It was just like, wait, is this for real? Monk had a great block, gets a stop. Then the ball is just loose. No one's grabbing it.
Okay.
Until DeAndre Ayton grabs it and dunks it.
Uh-huh.
What?
Before the urgency to get to the ball.
Dude, and I post on our YouTube page the breakdown I did on postgame about the second chance points. This was early in the game. This was a theme throughout. They were crashing relentlessly. And Sacramento was like soft when it came to the physicality that Portland had. Like I saw Jabari Walker just crash hard on Keegan, push him out of the way. I see Chris Murray crash.
I see Shaedon Sharpe go over the back on Isaac Jones, and it was over the back, but it didn't matter. Like, they set the tone, like, this is how we're going to rebound, so I dare you to call it because we're going to do it all games.
Ayton went hard and got Sabonis out of position to get a rebound and put back in. That's just a pure, like, do you want it or do you not want it thing. Like, are you locked in? Or are you not locked in? And tonight, you're not locked in. You're careless with the basketball. You're making poor decisions. And you give a team that's not very good offensively confidence. The Blazers end up shooting 51% this game. They didn't knock down a ton of threes, but they didn't have to. They didn't have to because they got more shot attempts. They got the second chance points. You turn the ball over. And it's a beyond disappointing loss for the Sacramento Kings. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah. And Mike Brown talked after the game. We shared some of this audio on our post-game show. And it was mostly about the turnovers and the early turnovers. He's like, you know, we were up 5. We would have been up 12. Like, that's just, it's just unacceptable how we were turning the basketball over. And just how it seems to be a theme for this team. And it's like, as a coach, you can't coach those turnovers out of them. Like, you have seen this team play at a higher level, but against the Portland Trail Blazers, but like Deuce said, is a team that likes to force turnovers on their opponents. You're gonna not take care of the ball at such a different level than we've ever seen before, where it's literally going to be the ball game. And I say it's the ball game because then I find less inspiration on a lot of those crashing for the board and the 50-50 balls of making sure you're the first one to the basketball, making sure you're the first one boxing out. It just a really disappointing, frustrating loss. I don't even know how to feel right
also,
now.
Also, outscored by 30 points in the paint. Sacramento allowed 64 points in the paint in this game. 64, and that's a product of unable to stop the ball. So you're not able to stop the ball. Help has to come, and they're just moving it the right way. And, you know, like, honestly, we've said this a few times. I know a lot of teams in the NBA seemingly just play the same style of ball, but Portland played the way Sacramento wants to do. All right, get in the paint, dribble penetration, get off the ball quick when that help comes, swing it around, take the open shot, crash on the offensive rebounds, score the basketball. And they did. I mean, Ayton killed them tonight. Ayton had 26-9. Anthony Simons got going. He knocked down. He had 21 points. He had 9 assists. 20 for Avdija. Denny Avdija, who, you know, shooting 28% from 3 coming into this game. He's had his struggles, but he's shown in the past he can knock down shots. And, you know, you give him clean looks. So, and he sees a couple go in.
Why do teams feel so confident shooting the 3 against the Sacramento Kings? Like, why is their 3-point defense that atrocious then? Where at times I don't even feel like it's atrocious. I feel like there's a hand running out and contesting a 3, but because you're an inch too late, someone feels that much more confident to shoot the ball. All these things, though, Deuce, are leading to the same thing that you asked or you said in the post game, and I asked you, I followed up on it. When you're like, maybe we're getting to a point where we're realizing that this just isn't that good of a basketball team.
Yeah. I mean, that's where it gets really challenging because, you know, the moves you made over the offseason were not, you know, to get DeRozan and like all the money you have and, you know, Fox and Sabonis and you re-signed Monk and, you know, you think about Fox's future, right? Mm. Yeah, you got to turn this around fast. And how do you do it? You know,
I don't know. You
bring Jay Crowder in because of some of the injuries, and you hope he could provide some emotional lift and spark. But like again tonight, it didn't really seem to matter. And that's not a disrespect to Jay Crowder, but like this is what I said is like I don't think Jay Crowder is necessarily saving your season. I think he can help you with his voice, and he can help you with his physicality, and you know, being a vet and knowing the league, communication on defense, but like, I don't know that he's saving your season. Like, I love Isaac Jones and I'm really excited about his future. I'm not sure he's saving your season. One other thing I would say though is just from a rotation standpoint, I know it's a little more challenging when you have guys out, DeMar's out, and then you lose Kevin a couple minutes into the game, Lyles is out. It just feels like the last call, you did it last game too, and then even tonight, it's like you just randomly see Orlando Robinson for 2 minutes. You randomly see Colby Jones for 2 minutes, and I'm a big believer you gotta like commit to playing these guys. Yep. If you're gonna play, like to me, if you're playing Orlando Robinson tonight, unless he's just an absolute crazy train wreck, play him 15 minutes. How are these players supposed to get in the rhythm? If Colby's out there for 3 minutes, what's that do for them and their development? Like, what's that do for anybody?
And if you're looking for an answer, no, you're exactly right. If you're looking for that answer and you feel like things, it's not about giving up. It's more of that belief and that trust. Like, okay, this unit couldn't get it done. This unit's turning the ball over. I got to rotate in some different guys. I mean, that's kind of what you're doing in those few minutes, but you're exactly right. What does that say to those guys in those few minutes? That wasn't good enough? Because, I mean, it felt to me Colby yeah. Jones' minutes were good enough, you know? Like,
yeah, Isaac Jones plays 20 minutes. It's like, yeah, maybe he could have played more. You know, I thought he did some nice things, had some nice rebounds. He had that alley-oop jam from Monk that was sweet. I noticed him out there.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah, that was nice.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy just looking at two. Sacramento actually had more offensive rebounds. That's wild. They had more offensive rebounds. What? But look at the second chance points. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. And so.
Good job.
The Kings are sitting at 9-11 on the season after 20 games. 9-11. And, you know, I saw in the chat, like, someone saying, you can't make excuses with the injuries. Definitely don't make excuses for anything. You can't excuse this. This is a loss. You go, I don't care. They're missing guys, too. A lot of teams in the NBA are dealing with injuries, and you just have to fight through it for sure. But to me, the more disturbing trend, whether people are here or not, is you're seeing the Kings get down double digits.
Yes.
We had a stat on post game that in the last eight games.
I think it was eight or nine.
No, it was eight games. That's what it was. Eight games in a row, they have been down double digits in a game. Eight games in a row.
And I think they won two
of those
them.
Or something like that.
A lot of losses.
Yeah, it's something like eight of nine. I forget the exact. The reality is they've been down double digits a lot. And it seems like when they go cold or they go mistakes, they're making mistakes. It's like it just keeps happening. They can't break the cycle soon enough, and they have to dig out. And it's like, you know, tonight when I'm like, oh, they're down 15 in this game, I'm like, they're not coming back. The basketball gods gave them last game.
Yeah.
Right? You're not getting tonight because you're not playing the right way. Portland is.
Everyone can define the game. It's a game of runs. And it is. It absolutely is. When you get in those type of holes, like Deuce said, there's going to be those games that are inspirational, and you find a way, and it's just a beautiful thing. But for the most part, when you're digging those holes a couple times a week, that's really hard mentally and physically to get out of in any sport. It's like, you know, a little bit of luck can be involved, a little bit of, I mean.
Sorry, I just coughed right in the, couldn't control that one. Sorry.
It's okay. Anyway, it's one of those losses where you really reflect and you're just seeing a sample size of these bad themes. And it's confusing at the same time too, because you look at track record, you look at individual talent, and you go, this isn't good enough compared to some other rosters in the NBA. And you look at even what they did last year with 46 wins and a few tweaks and adding DeMar DeRozan, you're going, hell yeah, this is going to be great. Expectations are higher. And now here we are. I just keep raising my voice for some reason throughout the entire night. And I just don't feel well. Like, there was some losses in the beginning of the season where I was like, man, they're in these losses. It's okay.
They're missing the good looks.
That was it.
It goes back to what we were saying. It's a sample size of 20 games where the 3-point shooting is just not good enough. The others are not stepping. There's just too many guys not playing well. And so, like, to me, it's reflection for everybody. You know, it's not, we talk so much about the players, but it's on the coaching staff too. Look in the mirror, like, what are we doing offensively that maybe guys are not getting the same looks that they're comfortable with? What kind of looks can we get to gain confidence? What can we do to these guys to lift them if they're in their feelings? Maybe like someone like Keegan, who's obviously in a bad spot right now. Like, how do we uplift these guys? And then from a front office perspective, it's like, you're in a position right now where the West is daunting and more challenging than ever. You are in a situation where you are 4-6 at home. You're 9-11 overall in the season. You're digging yourself a hole, okay? Yeah. And there's some tough games coming up. Sunday? You got San Antonio. They've been playing better basketball. They beat you by 20-plus in their gym. You got Houston. Houston, to me, is one of the most impressive teams in the West. They're physical. They've got size. They've got almost a total package to me. Like, they are scary to me. That's the two games right there. You've got coming up later this month, you got the Lakers three times in like a week. I mean, the list goes on. My point is the schedule's not going to get any easier. So if you're the front office, what are you looking at? What way do you want to go? Because I can tell you, being stuck in the middle is, this is not where you want to be. You do not want to be a team that's like 500 hanging around. Mm-mm. You either got to take a swing and go, we need to inject something here that's going to lift us and make us a winner again. We're trying to win. Or you got to go, all right, we don't have it. And that's a tough position to be in. And I don't think they're there yet with like, blow it up.
No.
But I am, and some people would push back on that. Like, hey, I've seen enough. That's What's fine. The ceiling of this group? I am a Kings fan that, you know, we all survive a 16-year playoff drought. Okay. Somehow. I'm just not ready for that quite yet. I'm just not ready to like,
Mentally take
and
that
maybe
on.
That's the wrong way to look at it, and I will fully admit that. I'm more like, what's the tweak to improve this team? Like, yeah, you're 9-11. You're not in a great spot right now, but the right tweak can propel you. All of a sudden, you add to this team and improve these some of these weaknesses. You start knocking down shots. You can get back into things. We saw teams take jumps in season last year. Why can't you be one of those teams? That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, you know, if the right moves made, does it alleviate pressure off others? And does it allow guys to knock down shots and be... I don't know. I'm searching, just like all of you.
Now he's yelling at you. Yeah, we're in search mode. And I think, like he just said, we're all kind of there. I know there are some people more irrational than others with, like, just do this, just do that. It's just not black or white. Like, there is so much gray area there, especially when you are part of an organization or you've been rooting for an organization that has seen a lot of losing and you're just like, I can't go back there. I'm not ready.
Yeah.
And also like the last 2 years were just like fun. And I don't want to lose that.
Especially when you have like someone like De'Aaron Fox who's playing some pretty damn good basketball. Sabonis,
even tonight, you know, like missing some outside shots, whatever. But it's like, no, you're right, Deuce. Like you got to capitalize on that type of talent.
And I see some people in the chat like mentioning some names that were missed. You know, it's like, oh, no, you could have gotten Najee Marshall.
We know.
I know. We could play the should have, could have game on free agents, Derrick Jones Jr. You know, you could have traded for PJ Washington. You could, yeah. Acknowledged. We've talked about that. What do we do now? That's kind of the thing I have to think about is like, what's the tweak now that's going to take this team? Is there a tweak that's going to improve this team so it can get back to playing better basketball? You know, it's just 20 games in, it's just like mind numbing to see the poor shooting. It is so tough to watch. And, you know, I think the Kings have many issues. We can acknowledge that. But you know what? They weren't a good defensive team when they won 48 games. What'd they do? They scored. They ran. They hit three-point shots. They were a good three-point shooting team last year. When they were good, they knocked down threes. That's kind of the name of the game. Like, even if they're not going to be a good defensive team, I think a lot of this season boils down to the fact that outside of Fox, DeRozan, and Sabonis, and now Monk, no one else. They have... Mike has not trusted the bench enough.
Mm-mm.
He's doing it more. He's playing more guys, but still doesn't trust guys enough. So the rotation's whack. And the guys you expect to hit shots, Keegan, Herter, Lyles, Monk until recently, are not making them. And so I think to me the biggest thing is you're not making three-point shots. And it's impacting everyone. Because then teams are packing the paint. Life is more challenging on Fox and Sabonis. Pressure is more on them. And you're fighting uphill. These other teams are knocking down 18 threes in a game. How many times are we seeing teams, not even against the Kings, every night knock down a ton of threes? Hell, LaMelo is launching 13 threes a game by himself. Like smashing an NBA record if that continued. And Sacramento can't hit threes. And, you know, you can bitch about, like, the league and where it's at and, oh, it's all about threes. You know, it doesn't have to be about all about threes, but can you make some?
Yeah.
How many games in the single digits?
It's such a huge part of today's game. It's not about live or die by the three, but, like, if you can't make enough threes, which, again, tonight you look at the percentage and be like, 35% great. It was... Too many threes were being made too late. You know, De'Aaron Fox is banking in his won three of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, banging that in late. And Malik Monk knocking some down even late.
We should mention that. Monk and Sabonis combined 10 of 18 from three.
Sabonis's were early.
So everyone else was like 5 of whatever the math is there.
Yeah.
20-something.
Who cares even That's anymore?
Terrible. And so, you know, it's like... I
know.
You got to make shots, dude. And we've watched every game. You guys are basketball sickos because you're spending a Friday night with us right now. We appreciate you guys. These guys are getting some good looks. Find me some bad looks. And every team gets some bad looks. The Kings are getting some good looks, and they miss them. And if you can't make a good look in this league, then you're not a shooter, and you need shooting. I don't know. I feel like this, it sounds like such a lazy breakdown, but it's true. It's like, you got to make shots in this league. How are you going to win games? You beat Minnesota. Why? You had 64 points in the paint. They couldn't stop you. That team was a mess. You got to hit threes. Why'd they win that too? They hit threes late.
Don't yell at me.
I'm yelling at you, Morgan. So we got more to talk about, just a little bit more to talk about. Then we got to make our way back to Sacramento. But like, let's look ahead to the Spurs game. Let's also try to figure out, like, all right, we spent our time complaining, but where do we go from here? Like, what kind of tweaks are made? Do you have any ideas? Do you change the lineup again? What do you do? We'll ponder that for a second.
Good. You're going to give me time to ponder.
Yeah, ponder it for a second. We should mention that tonight's podcast presented by Mother.
Oh, thank God.
Mother in downtown Sacramento is a perfect spot to go to. You have your, like, crappy Thanksgiving leftovers.
Oh, wow.
How about you get a real meal?
That's a great...
Or just eat your leftovers and immediately go to Mother.
Either,
how about that?
Either or if you just want to feel good after some of these Kings losses, or even before Kings losses, or whenever. Throughout the rest of November, too, you guys, 50% off your entire meal if you bring in a photo of your grandmother or mother. So make sure to go check it out. Michelin bib rated food. It's amazing, and it will make you feel that much better. The collard greens...
I like the po' boy myself. So good. Check it out. Go to mothersacramento.com. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We are all one with Golden One, Morgan.
We are. And you should join for up to 50% off Kings home games. You can get 15% off merch if you're a member. And there's so many other...
perks.
Thank you. I was there's so many other perks when you become a member at Kings Games. Like, for example, you raise your card up in the air and you go, oh my gosh, I'm sitting all the way up here. Scott Freshour says, you come sit down here, and you get a better seat. You get a better look. And there's even opportunities to win some money on the floor. It's just great to be a Golden One Credit Union member
and a Kings fan. So join today. Go to goldenone.com. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Morgan, why should people go to Northwest?
Oh my gosh. If you're like looking at your windows right now in your house and you're like, I can hear everything outside, you should go to Northwest. If you are looking at your windows and you're like, I'm freezing, there's a lot of cold air coming through right now, you should probably go to Northwest Exteriors. And if you're intimidated by like, oh, should I get new windows? Just go check it out. Just get a free quote. Check it out and see if they're right for you.
They also have an awesome deal right now, $109 window buyback offer. That's through December. So go check them out today. Go to their showroom too. You could play around with the windows, see which ones fit your needs. Go to their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Okay. Who's our player of the game tonight? Sabonis had a trip dub tonight, 21, 14, and 11 on 8 of 10.
I
knocked down 2 of 3 from 3.
I'm not feeling it for a Kings player tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not going to go with Malik Monk, who had 29 points, 9 assists on 10 of 21, 8 of 15 from downtown for Malik.
I mean, great job. Just super disappointing loss, so no.
Okay, well... I'm with you.
Anthony
Simons, I'm going to pick him. I feel like he made some big threes when the Kings tried to look like they were making a run, maybe. And I thought he made some big plays. He had 21 points. He had 9 assists, 5 rebounds in 40 minutes.
He kept attacking and getting to places where I was like, oh, where's the resistance? And then at the same time, I'm like, nope, he's a good player. He's going to get to his spots. It's about slowing down or stopping all the others and or just not turning the ball over and making sure you're not allowing them to get those second chance opportunities. So Anfernee Simons did a great job tonight against the Sacramento Kings. He deserves that.
Simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. So, Morgan, I was asking the question, Where do you go? What do you do? What tweaks do you make? Do you stick with this starting lineup? I know some people in the chat are like, oh, you got to bench Keegan. I'm going, for who? Like,
and what?
Here's the thing with Keegan. I know he's going to go out there and play defense. That's great. I just don't slump. I don't care if we have to get a brace to hold those shoulders back. I do not want to see him slumping those shoulders.
And it's not even always like he's slumping. You could see it in his demeanor. Yeah. And so, no, you guys, it's like, here's where we go from here. And I didn't feel like this an hour ago. And maybe because this is therapeutic, doing a post-game show, doing a post-game podcast, all of you being here on a Friday night, you basketball sickos. But I feel like you take a deep breath, you take a step back. Oh, you go to the doctor's if you made an appointment. And you just, you go with what you have right now. And I say that because guys are out.
Yep.
You see when Debo's coming back in. You see if there's some sort of different kind of spark or something else changes in your team in the next five games. I know it's weird that I'm like giving like a five-game span right now, but I think I need to for myself before I make like any irrational comment or anything, because I'm a believer in patience. I think where I've been more irrational this season or more upset with things because my expectations going into this season were much higher for good reason. Not just because I'm sports fan. I have irrational expectations. No, but I think you look at everything, all the changes that were made, what they did last year with the roster that they had, that my expectations and your expectations should obviously change and grow and get better. And that's why I'm going to cool it, take a step back, watch these next five, and then make my, my analysis of what needs to happen next.
I think the one thing right away is, let's just say, I don't know if DeMar's coming back against the Spurs, coming up the next opponent. Pick who you're playing coming off the bench.
Yeah.
You're playing Malik Monk. You're playing Isaac Jones. Play Jordan McLaughlin. Play Doug McDermott. And if you feel like you need to play a different big, of course, you play Orlando Robinson. Those are the guys you played tonight. But commit to it, right? Like, they also play Colby Jones. You can't play all, though. Like, that's probably too many guys, right? But Malik, Isaac, J-Mac, let these guys roll a little bit. Let Doug get a little more comfortable. Doug is going to get toasted sometimes defensively.
But you want to see him get his...
Put him in better matchups defensively and make sure he's not getting hunted. The Kings too many times give up switches far too easily where they go hunting for, oh, Doug's in, let's go hunt him. And the Kings go, okay, here you go. No, we're not switching that. Like, stay locked in. You got to fight through it and get on your guy. We got to figure a way not to allow that to happen. Or pre-switch. Like, you have to...
Adjust
on the fly. Yeah. And get this guy some looks. Get J-Mac some more touches with the offense so he builds chemistry so that way when he's not coming in, maybe he's not forcing a pass, you know? Let him build some chemistry with Sabonis. Let Monk be in some positions to play off ball every once in a while, too, so there's not so much pressure, you know? Let Jordan get some looks from the corner where he was elite last year. We're so worried about three-point shooting. Jordan McLaughlin was a good three-point shooter last year. Doug McDermott, and I'm going back to what I was saying a few minutes ago. I understand defensively those guys. There's bad matchups. And the Kings long-term, yes, they have to become a better defensive team. But here's what I know. I know they've won in this league when they knock down threes. And you're not going to, if you don't do it consistently, you're not going to win if you don't knock down threes. So commit to playing your bench guys a little more. Let them build chemistry. Right now, you're playing lineups that don't have chemistry, and you can tell when they're out there.
Fair enough.
Next up for Sacramento, they take on the Spurs. Coming up on Sunday, Victor Wembanyama in town. Harrison Barnes back in Sacramento for the first time. He should get an awesome ovation from the fans.
Absolutely.
Dude, one of the great guys in the league. And he was here what, 6 years?
Stayed on the floor. He was reliable.
He's coming off a really good week, too, where he won Western Conference Player of the Week. Pretty badass. And then Victor playing in Sacramento is going to be interesting. Yeah, it's a tough Spurs team, and I think they're a team that we said before the season was going to be, like, annoyingly good. Sometimes they're not going to be great, but, you know, Victor is special. He's not even as good as he will be. Stephon Castle has had amazing moments. They've got some firepower. HB's played well for them.
It's one of those games or one of those teams where you now have a big enough sample size of who they are as well. And you, like, I look at the Blazers team and I look at their roster and I'm not fearful. And I think when you look at the Spurs team and you think about what some of those young players can do.
Yep.
And then you think about, is Chris Paul playing right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure he wasn't hurt. And you think about Chris Paul just as a floor manager and Harrison Barnes, how he's kind of been a reliable piece as well and probably wants to have that killer mentality coming into his old home. Yeah, it's not going to be easy. And I was hoping the Kings were going to play against the Blazers how they played against the T-Wolves on Wednesday night. And I can say that again, but at the same time, I don't even think that was the best team then. You know, you think about the hole that they went in and everything. They played some inspiring basketball, but they just need to play some, like you said, fundamentally good basketball, making your shots. Yeah.
San Antonio, by the way, is 10-9 on this season. They are 10-9. They're coming off a loss 119-101 to the Lakers, but they have won like 4 or 5. So they're playing some pretty good basketball right now. And they're a dangerous team. And for Sacramento, I mean, it's, I don't care where they're playing, home or away, whatever, but obviously like getting something going. If you're going to turn around this season, it's going to be because you get your shit together at home too. And they're 4-6 on the home floor. You can't be a losing team at home. If you're a losing team at home, you're not in the playoffs. You have zero chance at making the playoffs. So it starts Sunday, and then you got the Rockets Tuesday, and no one's going to feel bad for you. It's time to wake up because this could get ugly really, really. It's already not good right now. They're 9-11, but you do not want this to keep spiraling.
No, you
because
don't.
Then it gets really crazy. And then we're talking about drama. And
I don't want
drama. I want fun. I want drama. I want exciting play. Can we get to some super chats?
Yeah. I miss the beam.
I
know we just saw it, but like, just doesn't feel the same.
Seen it a lot. I'm trying to get to the super chats. And of course,
like, how am I even going to see on my way home? Beam isn't lit.
All right, super chats. Thanks to Keegan Murray Watch. Member for 19 months in a row. Thanks so much to Sebastian. Why do Kings fans always want to trade the whole team or fire Mike Brown whenever things go bad? Can't make three sure. Things will be fine. Togetherness. That's a Spurs fan. It's so easy to say that stuff. You know, hey, fans are going to feel, you know, and I get why they're disappointed for sure. Oscar donates $2 saying Kings 59-23 still in play. I'm not losing hope.
Ooh.
X donates $10. I've really liked Isaac Jones. Notice that he's often left open both at the paint and the three, but rarely gets a ball. Do you think he's still adjusting or not trusted by the vets yet? Yeah, I think there's probably some adjustments, and they got to find him if he's open. He's not going to be a legit three-point threat at this point. He's taken some of the G League and has knocked him down, but it's not really his game. But if he's in the paint, find a way to get the guy the rock. He showed he could finish really well over Gobert a couple of times in that Minnesota game. You saw tonight the lob that Monk threw him was unbelievable lob. Like at the last second.
And he just third. I mean, in the way that he fumbled it up in the air and still found a way to finish it. It's just like, there's a lot of positives about him.
I like him. Yeah. Let's get to final thoughts.
My final thoughts. I know it can feel like doom and gloom after a loss like this, but I think it's like we said, like taking a step back, taking a breath, just evaluating things as you go forward and trusting your eyes, trusting your instincts, and just hoping that the fundamentals come back into play with this team when it comes to taking care of the ball and making some shots.
Yeah, I don't want to see a game again where they're getting crushed like this on second chance opportunities. Like, you need to be diving on the floor for loose balls. You need to be bumping guys. You have to punch first. Punch first. You don't get punched and then go, okay, you can have any offensive rebound you want. Lock in. That goes everybody, your vets. Lock in. If Sabonis gets bullied by Ayton, someone needs to, Jay Crowder, go tell Sabonis, hey, wake up. He just punked you. Accountability has to be there. Players, coaches, everything. The season's not over yet. Mm-hmm. It's not over. But if this keeps going bad, it's scary times. Got to get it together, and you got to get it together fast. I promise, I said this in our pre-show, my last thought on all this. If this season does spiral out of control and like things go, just know, we're not going to spend every podcast we're going to get back to having fun. We'll still be critical of what went down and what we saw, but we'll talk about the NBA. We'll laugh. We'll have songs. We'll play games. We'll do all that stuff, okay? I promise you this is not going to just turn.
We'll have songs.
You know what I'm saying, though? I just feel like I am sensitive to it because I'm like, you know, how fun is it to come to a place and the whole time is like, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks. But hey, you know what else sucks? This.
Yeah, but we're also like, we're not idiots and we're going to read the room and I get do it. Like a TikTok dance while the Kings just lost.
No, that's not
points.
What I'm saying. You know what I'm saying about it. But like,
letting them know.
I just feel like the last couple of losses, we've really been in our feelings. But I also think it's like, no, this is the tone. This is what we feel. Feels. And, you know, you expect more. So. Right. Thanks so much for all the super chats. We saw another one come in.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, more Monk the better. I agree with you. We love you guys so much. We'll be back Sunday following Kings Spurs.
Oh, and one more thing I should mention because we didn't mention it, but we've posted it everywhere. We have a Purple Friday, Black Friday sale going on right now for 20% off your entire order. You can go to deucemode.com, click on merch, and then you click on show whole store, and you can see our entire merch site.
I'm putting
everything
in the chat right now.
He's going to put the link in the chat right now. But use the code PURPLE at checkout for 20% off your entire order. It's Black Friday. You know, we're feeling good with things, but I always wear our shit, if you couldn't tell. And I love it. So we're doing 20% off your entire order. Have at it. Have fun.
We love you guys so much, but we got to go.
Thank you so much for being here on a Friday night and supporting us. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's BARTESIAN.com/cocktail.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.